church, not visiting. He went there, I think, twice in his life, very, very briefly. But studying the case of Ireland, it's, well, what Carlyle noted as well, the endemic nature of Irish poverty and of Irish disaffection, and trying to get back to root causes. And his policies from about 1870 on involve going more and more to the root of things until he comes back to the union with Britain and decides that that is the root that has to be partly dug up and partly transplanted into a more autonomous arrangement for Ireland within the empire, in which he fails with future results, which I think are clearly enormous. But Ireland comes to dominate his career in a way that it didn't Disraeli's. However, I think Disraeli's comments on Ireland are perceptive enough, if much less proactive than Gladstone's, to suggest that had he been a generation younger, had he been active in the 1880s, he dies at the beginning of the 1880s, his Irish policies might have been more forward-looking than those of the Conservative Party that succeeded him under Lord Salisbury.
We will never know what Disraeli's Ireland policy might have led to. But just as young Ireland would have a 20th century legacy in certain strands of Irish Republican thinking, so young England would live on in the one nation conservative tradition within Britain. The Irish Republican movement and the UK Conservative governments of the later 20th century might have been surprised to discover that they shared an intellectual ancestry. But they did.
Great British Ideas was presented by Tristram Hunt, MP. The readers were Evan Meredith and Michael Legg, and the programme was produced by Neil McCarthy. Tomorrow evening, Tristram explores the story of the British liberal who inspired Lenin. That's at the earlier time of 10 o'clock tomorrow evening. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now 17 minutes past 11, and apologies for the fact that we're running a few minutes late because of tonight's prom overrunning. Now we come to Late Junction and the last of three programmes this week, recorded on location back at the weekend at the Latitude Festival in Suffolk. Max Reinhardt is the presenter, hosting a stage curated by Late Junction, and we join the programme in the middle of some music by Tanya O'Clair.
Is running up a fever, long distance runner on a hunger. I can't stop till I get there. Tap, 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 tapping on your shoulder. It's the voices running up a fever, long distance runner on a hunger. I can't stop till I. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tanya O'Clair. Here on the Lake Junction stage. But don't worry, that is by no means the end of her set. But we're going to have a few words. Are we not?
We are.
Yep. Now, Tanya, every other time I've seen you, you've been totally alone on stage.
Yes.
Except for your fabulous machines and instruments.
All by myself.
Yeah. So why is that? Do you really like working on your own?
It's a really interesting challenge. It makes you really draw on so many different parts of yourself, parts of your brain, parts of your body. And I mean, like, logistically, sometimes it just made more sense sometimes. I mean, when I started out, I didn't have the musicians around me that were quite right for what I wanted to do. So I was just like, sod it, I'll just go ahead and do it and see how far I can take this. And there's something about when you're making everything from you, there's an immediacy there and there's a nakedness behind what I do, because you hear everything I do. I've got nowhere to hide. So there's something in it that's very scary, but actually a really great challenge.
Well, yeah. It's fascinating, I think, for us, because we can see you building it and then changing it too. But does that dictate the nature of, you know, your songs, of your composition, of the construction?
Yeah, more or less. Obviously, when you're recording, then you've got free rein to do whatever. But live, yeah, definitely. I've got certain restrictions and limitations with what I'm doing. I'm also using very pretty lo-fi equipment. It's not super-duper flashbang wallop kind of stuff. So it means that there's limitations to that. But actually, that can be a really great vehicle for being creative and stuff.
Well, it sounds pretty flashbang wallop to me. Yeah, indeed. But tonight, you've come on stage with another person.
Yeah!
Joe Allen.
Yeah, so Joe Allen, he's an amazing drummer and percussionist, and it's quite, you know, it's great when you find musicians that are really sensitive and really listen. So, and my music is so rhythm-driven that sometimes when I'm playing on my own, I can't do all of that, and there's certain things you just can't do, like I can't be a snare drum. Sorry.
That's true. You can't actually do live drum duets, which is some of what we've got here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to get out of the way. Okay. I want to hear more music. Okay. Tanya O'Clair.
Thank you so much.
What kind of juju? The wink of an eye.
push of the friction and the rub. I had it there, I thought I had it there, and then he came along. This last tune is called Svaria. It's about a road trip I did around Sweden. So I hope you come with me. In my pocket, and I've got
The spellbinding Tania O'Claire, songstress, electronic musician, and all-round musical talent. But you need more than music at a music festival. You need coffee, or I do anyway. On the Lake Junction stage, we went one better than a simple cup of coffee. We've got the Electroacoustic Cafe, James Brewster's brainchild. What he's done is he's put mics on every single part of the process that comes with making a cup of proper coffee. I dropped in on him to see how it worked, and we started with his coffee grinder.
I've tried to disguise its appearance by attaching a contact microphone to the top of it.
I see.
Which captures the sound vibrations as the beans are being chopped up.
Could we hear that?
Yeah, of course we can.
Or do I need to order a cup of coffee?
Ideally. It depends what order we want to do the whole
thing. Mine's a double macchiato.
Double macchiato.
So let's start with the grinding.
Okay, great. Actually, the first thing that happens is I take the handle out of the espresso machine. Sounds like that. I'm going to get rid of the old coffee grounds from the espresso handle by hitting it against this knock box. Now it's time for the grinding.
Now, where are these coffee beans from that they make that sound?
They're from Peru, actually. So there's quite a lot of bass in the grind there. It's more of a dull rumble.
OK, well, let's see what happens when you put the portafilter into the coffee machine.
Okay. And now
I'm liking the sound of this coffee.
So now I'm going to turn the pump of the espresso machine on, which is also mic'd up. So now the espresso is coming out of the portafilter into your cup, if you want to have a look at the... And I've got this volume pedal down here, which is adjusting the... So we're getting a bit more treble in the espresso blender, taking it away. A bit more granulation as the espresso crema reaches its optimal level. And then I'm going to bring the drip tray mic up right now. Yeah, so there's a contact microphone underneath where the water, the wastewater after making the espresso is dripping down. There's a mic underneath which is captured. They're my favourite sounds, actually. And
yes, I quite like the little bit of feedback. Is that going to make the...
Yeah. I tried to get more feedback, actually, but we've been working on that for about an hour, the feedback.
But I expect that's going to give the coffee a good kick.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you'll get a lot of caffeine into your system from the feedback.
Excellent.
Actually, yeah.
Well, now there's the milky bit of the machine.
Well, of course, as you can probably see a pattern now. There's a contact microphone on the milk jug as well. Okay, now we're going to go for the frothing. So we've got some nice filtering going on the frothing. A bit of granular synthesis. It gets louder as it gets towards the end of the frothing. Oh, pump's going on again now.
Yeah. Ooh. What happens between the... Ah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to pour a little bit of milk and you're going to get a little... Ooh.
Okay,
there you go, sir.
And I have here a cup of coffee, but don't I have to pay you for this?
Well, the coffee, we're actually giving away coffee on stage here.
But what about this goldfish bowl?
You can tip.
In front of me there's a goldfish bowl with pound coins in it, and I'd like to see what happens when I drop a pound coin in to the goldfish bowl. So... Actually, I haven't got a pound coin, but we'll 23 pence.
23 pence is sonically optimal.
Excellent. Here
and try and drop them with the surface of the coin flat and from as high as possible.
Okay, I am following James's instructions even now. Actually, I've put in 40 pence. Are you going to give this back to me?
It's a nice, good technique. I like your technique there. The
so stage. I'm now going to taste... this coffee that sounded so good. It's delicious.
Oh, I could see it in your eyes as soon as it...
Thanks very much, James. I've got to go and do something else now.
Okay, see ya.
Hell. and builds a hell in heaven's despair. And builds a hell in heaven's despair. And builds a hell in heaven.
I'm very fortunate to be sitting here in the Lake Junction Mobile Studio at the back of the woods with Crystal Warren. That was The Clod and the Pebble, and I've had the pleasure of playing that in demo form and also off your recent album too on Lake Junction, and now at last live. Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Max.
I've just walked across the field and got you out of Rufus Wainwright's band where you're singing backing singing, amazing backing singing.
It's just been a blast. I'm learning so much from him.
Yeah, how is that changing your music? Because, I mean, I've only ever seen you actually solo live, right. Although I know you have an 18-piece band called The Faculty, but I haven't seen them yet. But how is it changing you kind of being part of that huge musical event that's a Rufus tour?
Well, hearing and seeing the way that he works, you know. We had a week in April to really just hone in on these songs. And the interesting thing was, you know, we had spent months as a band learning all these recordings. Well, I have all the albums, so it was really just about listening in more towards what the backing vocals were doing, you know? And then we'd get in and he'd completely change everything. And as frustrating as it was initially, I began to see how he can take apart his song to basically find the essential, and then he teaches the essential, you know what I mean? Because he's such a fan of production, you can kind of forget what's underneath it, what's humming below. And yeah, that's been a great lesson.
When you're in the studio, how do you get the sound that you want? Is it?
I know exactly what I want as well. I think that I speak a different language than Rufus. With me in the studio, specifically with Love Songs, I produced it top to bottom and, you know, specifically chose the songs, the musicians, brought in an amazing arranger, my friend Brad Cox, who's in Kansas City. So it was really a matter of getting everybody in at the same time, you know, and to get to the gist of it, I live with my songs more than anyone else. You know, they're with me, they stick with me. So by the time it gets down to actually working it out, it doesn't take long. It's like, you know what colors each one requires, and you just have to pull it out.
And no overdubs, all live takes?
No overdubs, completely live.
And just choose the best one?
Yeah, well, not even the best one, because I didn't want to make a perfect album. You know, the music that I listen to is chock full of flaws. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, John Martin, even with Nick Drake, you can hear flaws in that. And yeah, I wanted something that was real, you know, that you knew that there were humans behind it. And the only way to really achieve that was to do it as pure as possible.
Now, at the moment, Love Songs has come out as a one CD, but yeah. In fact, it's a duology.
Yes, the word that we made up earlier.
Yes. Anyway, it's a two-album set. Yeah. And you're going to play us something from the second album, which has yet to come out.
Yes.
Because I know that you're in a hurry and that the Rufus machine is about to eat you up again and take
Got
you away
right
from us.
Up.
And
yeah.
You're off to play in Bath, I believe.
Jonah and the Ticking Whale. Yeah, heading off to Bath, and I'm going to be, I believe, opening that performance. And then I'm opening again in Dublin. So far on the tour, we're missing Teddy today, actually, because he...
it's Teddy Thompson.
Teddy Thompson. But this tune that I'm going to play right now, he's singing on the album, the second side of Love, which is the really sad, depressing side.
Okay, well, we like that.
And that's my favorite side, actually. I like a good tearjerker.
I know that I'm going to have to say goodbye to you at some point, so it might as well be now. Goodbye, Crystal, till the next time. Thanks so much for dropping
for
into
me.
Our mobile studio.
Yeah, well, it's lovely here. You just need some paintings is all.
That's true.
Yeah.
Climbing out.
Climbing out.
I never bought you roses. I keep your picture on the wall. Sometimes the pain's just enough to end the day. You don't write, you don't call. I've been thinking about what you said. I don't like this tune at all. I just wanna sing your name in key. So I don't write, I don't call. After it was dark, I began to wanna change the way I grabbed it. Goodbye is nice and clean if that's your kind of thing these days. I laugh at it. Well, I've been looking over edges. Ever careful not to fall. It's the climbing out that just kills me. So I don't write, I don't write. No, no, I don't write, I don't call.
Right, we're back on the Lake Junction stage, and we've got something rather special for you. Do you like Colombian roots music? Yeah. You are in luck, because we have for you Cumbe. Now, I'm holding on to Camilo, not just because we're good friends, but also because he's going to talk to me about the band. Tell me, what does Cumbe mean?
Cumbe comes from a word cumbia, or cumbe, which is party, celebration.
Okay, and we're going to have a celebration.
We will have celebration. Feel free to dance, sing along and stuff. The stuff we're going to play today is mainly from the Atlantic coast of Colombia and a few rhythms from the Pacific coast. It's really upbeat music.
Okay, really upbeat music. And so what are a couple of the rhythms? Give us a couple of names there.
Cumbia is one of the rhythms. Bullerengue is another one. Porro is another one. Puya is another one.
And are there rhythms in Colombia that aren't Afro-Colombian?
Yeah, music from the center and music from the place in between Colombia and Venezuela, this area, is completely different.
I think we're beginning to understand, aren't we? So you're going to give us the real roots.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, Lake Junctioneers, we give you, for real, Cumbe!
La ropa se lava en la casa y el que no lo quiera mejor que se vaya. La ropa se lava en la casa, el que no lo quiera mejor que se vaya.
¡Batería, carajo! Guess what? That song was called "Donde Estás." Where are you? You can sing it to any person you want. We're gonna play the last song. It's a really upbeat song called "Las Pilanderas Criticonas."
Thank you.
the band right now. On the very left, from Pacho, Cundinamarca, Colombia, Nicolai Rodriguez.
Thank you.
We are Cumbe. Viva Colombia, carajo!
Viva Colombia! Viva Cumbe! On the Lake Junction stage. The Afro-Colombian sounds of Cumbe. Well, the festival is drawing to a close. Unfortunately, only one more act on our stage to go, and that is Leticia Sadier. I thought I'd better have a chat with her before she took to the stage. We're sitting on a grassy hill in the middle of the festival, a calm space, the wind is in the trees, and I'm with Leticia Sadier. Hello, Leticia.
Hello, Max.
And welcome to Lake Junction at Latitude.
Yes, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So you've sound-checked on the stage, haven't you? What do you think of the lavish lounge and the setup with all the cities in front of it and the wallpaper on the walls?
Well, so far it's my favourite space in the whole festival.
So the music that you're playing tonight, are they all new songs?
There's going to be probably a mixture of old and new. Yes, some old Monad stuff and some stuff from the previous album under my own name, called The Trip, and there will be some from the forthcoming album.
The forthcoming album, and when will that hit the streets?
On the 24th of July, very soon. It's called Silencio. It's called Silence in Spanish.
Oh yeah, and is there a reason for it being in Spanish?
The title kind of manifested itself to me before anything was recorded, or even there was even an idea of a new record, but that prompted it. I happened to visit a church in Spain, in Zamora, of all places, where they have a lot of churches. And there I had a profound experience of meeting silence. I had a meeting with silence, with complete silence. And it felt extremely good, because there's something very innerworldly that happened, kind of connection that occurred, and I wasn't aware of it until I met the silence, and it was kind of a deep realization that silence is very, very necessary at times for this connection to occur. And then I kind of pushed this theme a little bit further, and I realized, well, why is it important to connect with oneself? And I think that ultimately it's important to connect with oneself to be able to connect with others better. I think also with me it's always this one step, like silencio is probably heralding, you know, something that will be much more stripped down, you know, in the next album and much closer to actual silence. But also I've noticed, because I play alone and I can't compete with a crowd that goes blah 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 blah, you know, because it is a bit of a problem, you know, in venues, that people just don't listen. But when people just chat over the top, all the silence is in my music, but like in any music, music is based on silence. You know, it doesn't work, it collapses. We need the space and we need the silence for music to work dynamically, you know. So that's also been a lesson in playing alone, you know, is that I need some kind of silence, you know, and some kind of attentiveness.
Attentiveness,
you know, it's very, very important. Otherwise, the whole thing collapses, and there's no raison d'être to doing it.
We'll be listening tonight, and you know, thanks very much for coming to our tiny stage in this huge festival. But I know that we are the jewel in the crown tonight with you on that stage.
Thank you. We'll see. Pressure's on.
Okay, I have some new songs for you. I hope you're doing great. It's a song about fire, about the inner fire. Passion, desire, and all that. Stuff that you can't buy at the supermarket. I have an invitation for you, an invitation to follow me down my river.
Come with your mattress, we can sleep on the river bed, content with your kiss, rolling the watershed. Make a connection, find our way through the plexus, accept the invitation. This riverbed was made for us. We can sleep on the riverbed, content with your kiss, rolling under the watershed. Make a connection, find our way through the plexus, accept the invitation. This riverbed was made for. Smooth at the edges, roundness will espouse, river high.
soul to lie in the flow. Roll, let the rock fall out. When all the colors become green, become gray, belly pure matter, transforming into clay. Absorbing and forming, mirror of reality, unifying all the way where we can let life be. On the other side, nothing is quite so scary, nothing so final. Roll, let the rock is a torrent finding its way, vivacious river. Show me how you let go.
Couple more for you. Gentle stuff. I hope you're warm. This one's called Silent Spot. And I wrote it for my friend Trish. And it's kind of a little meditation on when we depart, you know, when we go. And I kind of think that we decide on a very subtle level of our beings when to go. Choose what choose, but choose when we go, when we are.
already when deeply likely exit to advance, lead another existence. She was ready just to go, done it all, that body strength was ready to withdraw, move on beyond to let go.
Because you're such a good audience, I'm going to play you a Stereolab song. It's called International Coloring Contest. It's about Lucia Pamela, who recorded on the moon, as we all know, and had the great idea that people could do a big international coloring contest. Into outer space with Lucia Pamela. The moon is a place where there's space for Lucia. Before Armstrong took his steps, she'd been there with friends. They took all instruments and recorded on the moon. Get a variety of sounds from where the air is different. Ba-da-ba-da-da. 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 I'm so full of ideas, and here is a good one. Lucia has a dream that comes in color of international coloring. For your entry, she's waiting. Into outer space with Lucia Pamela. The moon is a place where there's space for Lucia. Ba-da-ba-da-da. 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 Ba-da-ba-da-da, ba-da-ba-da-da, na-na-na-la-la-la. was hoping you would, we would all sing together. I see that we have a few minutes left, and I could play another song if you'd like that. Okay, cool. Let's do it. I brought you the swim, although I didn't do it today. Could have done. Could have done. The sea's not far. Did anyone swim in that bit of water there? No? Not a soul? Thank you very much. And thank you to everything.
Leticia Sadier. So the third night at Latitude. I'd like to stay longer, but it's the end of the festival and things are beginning to wind down. We've had a great time, and I'd like to thank the production team who made it all possible, and I'd like to thank you at home for listening. You haven't heard all the music that we recorded here, but in the weeks to come, we will reveal them to you on Late Junction. But I'll leave you thinking about some of the wonderful things that have happened. The solo stars like Leticia Sadier and Aisha Orazbayeva, who stood on the stage and played some difficult music and managed to hold a crowd in the middle of a noisy festival. To some of the stars of the future, I think, like Tanya O'Clair and Sam Lee. We were lucky enough to get them on our stage this year. I don't think we'll be able to afford them in the years to come if things go well for them. And then, of course, there were the guys who gave us a great time, like Balaji and Kumbe. Anyway, this is Max Reinhardt saying good night from Late Junction at Latitude.
Hello, I'm John Shea, and welcome to another edition of BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. Let's start with a recital from the 2011 International Organ Festival in Prague. The event has run annually since 1996, and today we're going to hear Olivier Latry playing on the city's biggest instrument, built in 1705 in St James Basilica. Latry has just turned 50, and he's already been a tenured organist at Notre Dame in Paris for more than a quarter of a century. Most of his programme focuses on French repertoire, but he begins with the famous Toccata and Fugue in D minor, BWV 565, attributed to J.S. Bach. And he really does make the toccata sound like an improvisation. Toccata and Fugue in D minor, attributed to J.S. Bach. Olivier Latry continues his Prague recital with César Franck's Prelude, Fugue and Variation in B minor, Opus 18. The 40-year-old Franck had been organist at the Paris Church of Sainte Clotilde for 4 years when he composed this in 1862, dedicating it to his slightly younger contemporary Saint-Saëns. Incidentally, the concluding variation is a decoration of the prelude that begins it. Franck's Prelude, Fugue and Variation in B minor. When he died in 1890, Franck was succeeded as organ professor at the Paris Conservatoire by Charles-Marie Vidor. All three men have links to the organ builder Cavaillé-Coll. Olivier Latry plays one of his instruments at Notre Dame, just as Franck did at Sainte-Clotilde. And it was Cavaillé-Coll who encouraged the young Vidor in his early studies. Here's the allegro that begins Vidor's Symphony No. 6 in G minor.
Thank you.